Yeah, I can feel it in my bones. Pastoring and preaching. His voice delivers loving tones from a small church in Missouri. He's spreading the word far and wide. His Bible-based sermons are not a Sunday drive.
Bible in hand, he's walking in God's grace as he delivers the word with passion on his face. He speaks of forgiveness, redemption every word through the whispers of his sermons. The Spirit's voice is heard.
Jerem, we're here, our second hour on Friday, the 26th day of April. The prepper tip today is to inventory your library. If you've got more than a few hundred books, you may want to use the Dewey Decimal System. It would be a great thing. We're Patient Wayne in the Green Room, my friend Pastor Evan Bell. Pastor Bell is the pastor of my church that I attend most every Sunday, the Viburnum Free Will Baptist Church in beautiful Viburnum, Missouri. Good morning, Pastor Bell.
Good morning, John. Good to hear your voice.
Good to have you, sir. And, well, here we are. This time next week, it'll be the fifth month of the year already, won't it?
Absolutely. We're well into spring here in Viburnum, and everything is greened up real nicely. We're having plenty of rain this year, it seems.
One of the things that I no longer find amazing, because I've found it to be a matter of just the way it is, relatively small towns in Missouri now. Viburnum is a population of about 750, I believe. A small town will have a lot of churches, given its relatively small population. And Viburnum's no exception, is it?
No, it isn't. There's plenty of churches to go around, John. I forget what the count is. Maybe six in town. And then as soon as you leave the city, there's rural churches scattered everywhere in the surrounding countryside.
Absolutely. And that's the way it is. These churches, the last 40, 50 years, have had difficulties keeping their attendance up, making the church relevant to people's lives. But they continue, don't they, sir?
They try. People move on. Many young people will grow up and move away, and they don't want to be farmers of difficult 80 acres of land way out here in the Ozarks. And so they move on. Some move back. Some move back, and they bring a little small business with them, which is awesome. But the church must remain relevant with the same message. And this is the challenge for every church, I think.
It is. Whether it's in a big city or in the country, that is a challenge. You and I had coffee the other day, and we were discussing some of the ways that might make our church more relevant and bring us into the modern age. Now, you're already televising one of your services, and that's going to increase. Tell us about that.
Right. We live stream on Facebook. Facebook is not my favorite platform, but the community in Viburnum has a community Facebook page. And so we hope to tap into that audience by live streaming on Facebook. I know there's other platforms, John. And we're moving towards using them, but just to get up and started, we're at Viburnum FWB. That's our name on our Facebook group. And we're live streaming our Bible study on Sunday nights. It's about a 45-minute study. We'll see if we can get some traction with that, get the word out.
Absolutely. Well, the modern age has changed a lot of things in terms of all the different things that, that are attempting to get people's attention. I look at it, and I'm the first generation to grow up with television from infancy, and television changed our society in many ways, a lot of them not too good, correct?
I agree. My parents, both academics. My father went to Lehigh University in Pennsylvania. That's not Ivy League, but it's a good school. And they both decided that TV was the plug-in drug. So we didn't have one my entire childhood. And I would hear kids talking at school about cartoons or various programs of the 70s, early 80s. But really, you're not missing much. So much of it, John, is just it's just mind rot. It's just nothing useful for your life, your brain, your soul, your person. There's good content out there, and that's why we do have a TV now, but we try to be very selective. And one effect TV has had is that people come to church already media satiated. They've spent all week just taking in so much media, and a church service has to be ready to compete with a whole lot of other words that have been spoken in people's lives.
Absolutely. Well, despite the all these distractions going on with television, professional sports, and so forth, the churches continue. The churches are available. Our church is available for people that want to give a Bible-based message on a Sunday morning or on a Sunday evening or a Wednesday evening, correct?
Absolutely. You know, we like to say, John, that the message and the solution doesn't change. That's the gospel message of salvation, of new life in Jesus Christ. But of course, people's lives change. Culture changes. How people relate to one another is vastly changing. And so this same time-tested gospel message must be relevant to these people's lives. And so we take that into account, everything we do with the church. I remind myself, John, when I step into the pulpit, that some of these people, a few, are working overtime, that they come to church on Sunday morning, their one day of rest, already burdened with a whole lot of that mental activity going on inside. And my message must reach their heart, reach their soul, challenge them, touch them from the word, but it has to be effective. I can't waste time, and I can't dilly-dally. So the modern culture, over-busy, over-satiated with media, always guides my message.
Absolutely. If you have a question or comment, just give us a call at 512-248-8252. Well, tell us about the Sunday morning service. What time does it begin, and generally what happens on a Sunday morning, sir?
Sure. We open the doors, about quarter till 10 o'clock. There's a few folks that come right at 10. We fellowship, meet people. There's people getting ready for service. We begin service at 10:30. We sing a mixture. We always sing something old, something new. We have a nice hymnal, John. It's over 500 hymns, and we're slowly working our way through every one of them. And these are a variety of hymns that we sing, but we also do some modern worship courses. We want younger people to know that we worship in their language as well. So we sing usually a couple hymns. We share some announcements, what's going on in our faith community. We take time to pray. And when we pray, anyone who wishes can share from his heart what's going on in life, something he wants to particularly pray about, and we do. I usually speak, John, about 30 minutes. I just want to be very sensitive to people's schedule, their time, their ability to listen. And so about 30 minutes. Our services, an hour, maybe a little more sometimes. We fellowship afterwards.
All right. Well, it's a welcoming, warm environment. The church has been there about, 50, 60 years or so. And
that's right.
We're incrementally updating the church in terms of the beauty of the church, the practicality of the church, making it just a nicer environment all the time, aren't we?
We are. And we have a business meeting real soon. And we're looking at a new constitution. I wanted to mention that because this is a point of interest, debate, and contention. We have a church constitution. Of course, this is a man-made document. People came up with this from 1982. It, first of all, needs a profoundly good editing. I'm not sure the people that put this constitution together went over, reread it with a proofreader's eye, because it sure needs some cleaning up. But more than that, it needs some ability to address concerns in the 21st century. Now, we have one older member who is insistent that all we need is the Bible. In one sense, theologically, that is true. But we are a legal organization. Heaven forbid something happened where a person or a government entity would sue us. We would need to have good policy that supports why we do what we do. So we are redoing our church constitution. And specifically, John, we're adding a portion on marriage, who the church marries, why that's part of our denomination, our national denomination's theological perspective. What would we do if a same-sex couple came into our church and insisted on being married and threatened a lawsuit? We need something in our constitution that speaks to that. We also want a new part of our constitution to deal with who opens and closes the church door and why we reserve the right to maintain services and Christian witness during times of national, for example, during the epidemic, whether we reserve the right to keep the doors open in spite of what the government might say. This is important that's part of a constitution, that we can point to that. Oh, there's a few other things. We want the constitution, protection against lawsuits come from good background checks. If you're gonna work with our kids, we want a background check on all new workers. If kids are in a room, we want a window and a door, and we want two adults. Anytime there's kids together, we want two adults of legal age to provide security in that regard. So all these things have to be woven into a constitution that would stand the test of the rigors of a lawsuit.
Well, it sounds like everything is being planned, is very well thought out and very well planned to make sure that everything's done properly and safely, isn't it?
It would be nice if we were just the little church in the wildwood of 50 to 70 years ago, John, where happy people just gather together and worship the Lord, and the cares and problems of the world were a million miles away. That's not the world we live in, John. Any moment in time, trouble can come the way of a little rural small town church, and we have to be at least two steps ahead of that trouble. That's what we're aiming for with revising our church constitution.
Well, once it's done, I know it'll be done properly. And we got a caller on hold here, Pastor. We got John in Missouri. Good morning, John.
Good morning. You know, interesting topics and subjects today, as always. Thank you. But I was just curious to know, you know, I see how you're placing some strict kind of boundaries on marriage, which is wonderful, but I seem to view it a little bit different, and just correct me if I'm wrong, or just tell me, you know, if you see it like that or if you see it differently. I would just like to know, but for me, I posted a video on my Facebook page, my name's Johnny Shields, actually John, but my mother called me Johnny, but anyway, marriage, I posted a video explaining that marriage in Scripture is when man enters woman or man humbles woman, the two become one flesh, and to me, that's marriage, not going down to the courthouse, because I can't find going down to the courthouse and getting a marriage license in Scripture, and if somebody could point that out to me, I'll follow it, but I just thought I'd just present that question and just see what you guys thought. Thank you very much, and have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, John, for your call. Go ahead, Pastor.
Sure. I understand John's sentiment. I do. We aren't given a set of instructions in Holy Scripture. This is how you do marriage. We know that it is public. We know that it's one man, one woman. And we know that it is an agreement that they state that they reserve each other exclusive rights to one another in regarding intimacy. And we see that from the Garden of Eden onward. But so why do we codify marriage? I do think that the U.S. government, churches would do better just not working with the government in terms of marriage. When the government got involved in church marriage, this was not good for the church ultimately. However, on the other hand, churches are free to declare their perspective on marriage, and our church has one. And I think it helps the church to maintain good boundaries and protections for that couple. I think if we went back to a system of a man and woman simply publicly asserting we are married, that would not help them stay together. I think giving both partners resources to defend their person and interest is a good thing, and that's why we have church ceremonies, and why the church also participates with government recognition of that marriage. I realize it's not perfect.
Well, the government got involved in issuing marriage licenses around the post-Civil War era. A marriage license was intended to keep black people from marrying white people. That was the whole intent behind marriage licenses. And although that's no longer done, the marriage license system continues, doesn't it?
It does. And John, I did not know that. I think before the Civil War, it was just something that people, it was confined to the church. It was the church had precedent and priority over that. And I do feel there's good merit in that. It's just fighting an uphill battle.
Absolutely. You got a question or comment, give us a call at 512-248-8252. Well, we at Viburnum Free Will, we have a small church, a growing church, and we have room for people with musical talent, both singing and instruments, don't we?
Oh boy, do we ever, John. We do. We have a couple instruments. We have a beautiful organ, and it has two keyboards, and I only play one set of keyboards one keyboard at a time, so I'm mostly on the grand piano, but I would slide over if someone else with good talent came. We like to think that people are free to come, share the gifts and skills the Lord has given them. And so we would be happy if more folk came, and we could use a guitar. We could use a bass. A trumpet would have to work with us. We're a small sanctuary, but even a brass or a woodwind instrument would be nice.
Absolutely. Well, we'll accommodate musicians and their instruments if they show up, won't we?
Absolutely. They could come and sing. We have a lovely lady that comes in on occasion and sings a song a cappella, which is beautiful.
Absolutely. And she has a trained voice. We have a break. Call number is 512-248-8252.
begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balanced protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth, or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214, or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
Health Simple with Colorado Shioji. Fact bit number one. What goes in must come out. Whatever we ingest, breathe in, or transfer by contact must be expelled. Expelled directly as burned calories, through perspiration, respiration, or expelled via urinary and gastric channels. Every element that is not properly used or removed by our bodies become toxins. And toxins, as we know, are causal to every disease and ailment. Toxins are what makes us subpar, unable to be at our best. Be your healthy best by cleansing your body of daily and deeply embedded toxins. Live stronger, and we hope live longer. Shilajit, legit Shilajit, that is, like Colorado Shilajit, is perhaps the greatest homeopathic whole body remover of toxins made by Mother Earth.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, and there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Then I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie, away, 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 down south in Dixie, away, 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 down south in Dixie.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Our website is thelibertyman.com. If you have issues with pain, check out the Engine Cleaner. Issues with sleep, same thing. Keep in mind, I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on the Energy Cleaner. Energy Cleaner and the mattress pads that go with it are for sale at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Pastor Evan Bell, the pastor of my church, the Viburnum Free Will Baptist Church. Pastor, we got a caller on hold here, regular caller, Glenn in Philadelphia. Good morning, Glenn.
Yes, good morning, John. Good morning, Pastor Bell.
Hi. Good morning.
Not as regular as I used to be, but I just happened to be able to tune in this morning, and it's nice to hear you, you know, what you're talking about here. I hope the Lord blesses the efforts, you know, with the community of the church. The thing that came to mind immediately is, one thing you said, I like you to talk about the mix of music, the old and the new, and, you know, the old hymns and the hymnals that they're written so deliberately and carefully with great doctrinal principles, the old hymns, you know. You can give me the old-time religion for that kind of stuff, you know. And so often with the music these days, we've got this whole seeker-sensitive thing going on where I think maybe the church is too interested in accommodating the whims of the modern realm. And everybody wants to have an electronic keyboard, and a semi rock band going on, and all kinds of lights and craziness. And I kind of like the older, more sober approach to, you know, worshiping and honoring God. But certainly the seeker sensitive thing has blown up in the faces of a number of denominations. You may have heard of the big James River Men's Conference scandal recently. By any chance, hear about that?
I did, and I was of particular interest to me. First of all, regarding the hymns, Glenn, I too like stately old hymns that are theologically wonderfully instructive. When we sing these words, we rehearse in our minds and we reinforce great theological truth within. And that's a wonderful, good, and godly thing. The modern stuff, I tend to gravitate towards the more devotional, where people sing of a real relationship with God and what God means to them. But I prefer the God-centered theology of the hymns, where it's more about Him than us.
Right. With these modern songs, you sit there and count the number of times they say "I" and "me" in those songs.
Yeah, it's far more personal. It's far more man-centered. Now, does that have some value? At times it does, as long as it's theologically correct. Much of it is not. Some of it is. Like the Keith Green worship choruses of the 1970s. They seem rather mild and innocent by today's standard. But those were already always theologically on track. Of course, that's now, what, 50 yeah. years old, 40, 45 years old. Regarding the James River, you will never find dry ice. You will never find smoke machines in our church. You will never find dancing spotlights. I think so many modern churches of today take their cue from Jay Leno or a nightclub or a stand-up comic, a man that is just attracting attention to himself with witty banter, that sort of engagement. I just don't go for that sort of appeal, the stronger men conference type of appeal, where the presentation of manhood is something that is overcharged with testosterone and tough, aggressive, snarky, in-your-face talk. This is not New Testament manhood. New Testament manhood are that men are wellsprings of quiet, reserved strength, that they keep hidden behind hardworking, modest, gentle lives, and only bring out when the occasion calls for it. That's New Testament manhood. Strength and aggression in reserve.
I find I listen to a lot of guys like John MacArthur and R.C. Sproul. I'm not Reformed per se myself, but I really like when they do a lot of expository preaching as opposed to topical preaching. And you know, there's not a need for a lot of hype or, you know, gymnastics or anything like that. You know, I think they do a good job of conveying the image of manhood, the covenant of marriage, things of these natures.
I do too. And you will never see, this is almost comical, you will never see John MacArthur bare-chested or flexing his biceps or strutting like a banty rooster in front of his people. That's just not something he's going to do.
I agree.
Glenn, you got anything else for us?
No, God bless your efforts, and hope let's remember the Holy Spirit goes out and brings people into your church for you.
Roger that. Amen. Thanks, Glenn. We got a bottom hour break. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
I feel a connection to the earth. As I nurture these plants, I witness their rebirth. With an energy cleaner, I harness nature's power. Transforming my garden, blooming with each passing hour. Softly swaying in the breeze, my garden dances with joy. Abundant fruits and vegetables, flavors to enjoy. Award-winning flowers bloom, a vibrant sight to see. The energy cleaner, my garden sings with harmony.
Sold exclusively at thelibertyman.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to dixierepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
One of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs. For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Company! Pick! Bayonet! Boom! Ah! Right! Face!
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Glenn, you got a follow-up question or comment, sir? Okay, Glenn's gone. Well, Pastor, it's a challenge living in the country, different than being a city for many reasons. We are independent in terms of proprietary water. Almost all the homes outside of Ibrahim have their own proprietary water system. Inside the city, of course, there's a city water system. People tend to have backup electricity. Gardens are, what, about one-third or half the homes have a garden of some sort? Would that be a fair statement?
Most people are growing something in their backyard that helps with their food supply.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's pretty common for 8 to 10-year-old boys and girls harvesting their first deer as an 8 to 10-year-old boy or girl, isn't it?
This is a common theme on our Viburnum Facebook community page. We often see a dad with his son or daughter's first kill early in the morning during deer season, youth season. They get to hunt a little earlier than adults. But you're right, that is a big rite of passage for many of our young people.
The two families, one I think still attends the Vibranium Free Will, and the other not at the moment, but they had an informal contest between the two families as to which family could cook and consume the most unusual wild game. And it was an interesting contest between these two families. You know, we always have fun things like that going on in the Ozarks, don't we?
I think so. When you live way out here, and, you know, a St. Louis Cards game is over 2 hours away, and who wants to drive to St. Louis? You have to be creative, and there's plenty to do out way out here. Right now, we're looking forward to May. Mid-May is when Council Bluff Lake opens up. Memorial Day, I believe. So that's end of May. But that's something else people love to do way out here, is go to the lake. And it's a beautiful lake, and it is, John, it is never crowded. Never crowded.
A couple of times I've been there, there simply weren't anybody around. So that's it's a local attraction. And out here in the Ozarks, it's a different lifestyle, as I mentioned before. But it's a fun lifestyle. It's a good, healthy lifestyle, isn't it?
Yeah, we chose this lifestyle, and we believe in it. Our little church taps into those sort of things. We coordinate swim trips, kayak trips, canoe trips, camping, and we help put those things together as a matter of church life, church activity. We have found, John, that just getting together, doing life together, spending life together, is a wholesome and good activity for God's people. We don't have a movie theater. Of course, everyone watches movies on their devices.
Right.
No movie theater in town. But one thing we have been doing at our church is on off nights, we've been having a family fellowship night. And we just come, we bring snacks in the church fellowship hall, and we play some games and just spend time being happy with one another. And it's especially good for our young people. It's not much mischief to get into in a church basement with some family games, but it helps bond us together in a wonderful way.
Absolutely. Pastor, we got a caller and holder, John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello. You ever listen to Stan? I have a question for the pastor. You ever listen to Stan Johnson in a Prophecy Club or any of his podcasts?
No, I haven't. Tell me about him.
You've not heard of it? Well, he has something called, he used to pastor something called Spirit of Prophecy Church up in Plano, Texas. It's behind a Whataburger. He said that when the tribulation, or when America is destroyed, that several areas would be, people would start turning to God, and they would turn to the churches, and these churches would turn certain cities into cities of refuge for people seeking help, and that they would begin, you know, taking over these cities and taking over the governance of them and placing them under the rule of the Ten Commandments. And if you wanted to stay in them, that this Ten Commandments, that they would have to, they give a little chits of paper out or flyers out with them that says, you know, keep these to stay here. Or people who were just hungry or wanted it and were seeking to survive. You think that your area could be eventually become, if the United States collapse, become the nucleus of a Christian or Torah type state, or in the Midwest or something?
John, that's a good question. I think from my perspective, my theological perspective, the abilities and capabilities of the church I serve, we take a little different approach. Anyone who seeks refuge in the woods has to be able to maintain a fire, kill, clean, cook a chicken, shoot straight, endure ticks and chiggers. When the grid goes down and America suffers the worst that this world has to offer, people must be prepared for a life that's going to be lacking everything from hot coffee to air conditioning. And so my perspective is less theological, John, and more life skills. I want the young people of our church to be able to survive on their own, without needing constant help. And I fear for our nation. My son and daughter last week got the tents out of our container. It was 38 degrees, and they went up in the middle of our 40-acre woods that we own, set up these two tents. They took a dog each for heating purposes, and they did a night, and they had the time of their lives, both in their own tent with their own dog, and they did just fine at 38 degrees. I can't imagine that the majority of American youth would find that was fun. So to your question, John, I think our church is more focused on getting people ready to live, endure, and make things work. And I don't think most Americans are going to be able to survive without a salted caramel latte and a cell phone. And they would not be of any use to us. They would be of no use to us out in Viburnum.
Okay, John, we need to move on. We do thank you for your call. Our next caller is Sherman in Indiana. Good morning, Sherman.
Good morning. Interesting show today. Elders led by the Holy Spirit need to lead the church. One church I just finished up helping them with their sound system. Instead of filling elders with men, they monopolized the control with women family members. Nepotism can grieve, vex, and quench the Holy Spirit. I'm not against women in ministry as ordained in the Bible, but here's my question, Pastor, and John can relate to this. If a man speaks in the forest with no women around, is he still wrong?
If he's married, most likely, yes.
Sherman, Missouri men are by nature, and I'm from North Jersey, just to set the record straight. I live a little north of Glen in Philly, by the way, where I grew up. Missouri men are by nature quiet, reserved, and when the going gets tough, Missouri men head for the barn, the shop, or the tree stand. And so part of my ministry in my church has been telling the men, you must lead the way. Brothers, stand up and lead the way. One of the things that we are on the cusp of initiating, and I take this idea from a fellow pastor about an hour away, is a Saturday men's breakfast. We will pray, but we will also encourage men to be men, to stand and take their place in the kingdom of God. And you're right. Many Missouri churches, Sherman, are essentially led by women. Now, the pastor may not be a woman, but the power and the strength and the feminine cabal that essentially run things keep churches broken, small, and ineffective. And yes, Sherman, I faced a feminine cabal in my church. I stood toe-to-toe with them, and I came out the other side the victor because I'm from North Jersey. And so I think what you said makes a lot of sense, Sherman. Men must take their place in the kingdom of God if we're to see our churches revive and reassert their place in American culture and life and religion.
Thank you kindly.
Thanks, Sherman. We appreciate the call. The call number is 512-248-8252. As things change in our society and our culture, the teachings of the Bible remain constant and unchanging, don't they, Pastor?
They do. we have to be ready to use timeless truths and apply these truths to bizarre cultural phenomena we never would have dreamed of 50 years ago, that we would be fighting for the rights of little boys and girls to maintain their gender and sex through years of normal normal childhood confusion and questioning. This is a bizarre cultural phenomenon, yet the Word of God remains constant and speaks to everything society and this world throws its way. We have this was a funny phenomenon, John. Right outside the church building, who knows how, but the Pokemon game company placed in the Ethernet, I don't even understand all this, but outside our church is a spot in the road where Pokemon game players collect tokens. They are floating in the air according to GPS coordinates. I don't understand it all, John. But we found a number of cars would come up and park in the middle of our road and just wait. And we eventually figured it out. Someone told us this is a Pokemon hotspot where people congregate to collect tokens that are playing this cell phone-based online game. So we have to deal with these people now. They're in the road that people park. It interferes with church parking sometimes and just flow with traffic. And I just startled me this week realizing this is something a church of today in the 21st century has to deal with.
Well, I wasn't aware of that, but as I've said a number of times for a number of years, a lot of Americans have too much time on their hands, don't they?
Oh, they do. And so life in the woods, John, provides this wonderful... When you have to raise a beef cow or slaughter a chicken or build a fire in the morning or deal with frost on your windshield or any of the challenges that life in the woods brings, it does bring a quality of character, John, that an internet-based or a cell phone-based life will not develop on its own. And we want to think that young people raised in the woods are of stronger stuff than most of the youth of America today.
I would agree. The average man who was raised in the city under age 50 couldn't change a spark plug with a pistol pointed to his head, could he?
he would not know what to do. And
no.
Just yesterday, my son and his grandfather tackled about a 30-35-year-old Troy-built rototiller. And it's a marvelous machine that they're using to till. And they got it started. Amazingly enough, my grandfather, Ozark-born, bred, raised, was able to show him how to get it started. And they tilled up. An eighth of an acre
All right.
garden spot. And then my daughter is going to plant that with all sorts of things she'll grow for our food supply.
Outstanding. Well, this is teaching youngsters skills that they'll have the rest of their life, isn't it?
It is. And I hope to think that the Lord would be able to take my children anywhere in this world and they could face the challenges of life and they would find a way to live a godly and good life, blessing others and enjoying the ride, as they say, enjoying the adventure of life as they wait for his return.
Absolutely. Well, your children are homeschooled. There's a lot of homeschooled children in our area, aren't they, sir?
There are. We don't have the worst public school. Our public school is not bad. But even still, it has its challenges. And we like the homeschooling approach. Both my children are heading towards blue collar. We are not encouraging them to look into any university at this point. We think a blue collar field where possibly they could be their own boss would be the better way to go these days.
Absolutely. Well, I know the local school district doesn't start teaching phonics until the sixth grade. Is that your understanding as well?
Yes, and they struggle. Well,
phonics needs to begin in kindergarten, in my opinion. But we have our last break here. We'll be right back. Oh, okay. We got 30 seconds early, and we're not on the break yet. Well, the children I've seen that succeed in public schools, they get a lot of coaching from their parents at home, don't they?
They do, and they should. If you are sending your child to public school, then it's really necessary that you undergird that with lots of time with your child, reading and supporting what they'll be learning, because they'll need help and backup for sure.
Absolutely. Now, here's our break. We'll be right back and wrap this up.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart, under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here, with me, in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Pastor, we got our last caller here. We got Kyle in Florida. Good morning, Kyle.
Hello there, Pastor. Oftentimes, whenever in the morning, I see children on the side of the road waiting on the buses to go to school, and it breaks my heart when I see them wearing those little masks on their face. I was wondering about some of the hurdles. A lot of our independent King James Bible believing churches, were empty Monday through Friday. I was wondering some of the hurdles one would encounter in turning our churches into schools. And I think once it got started, it would just grow and flourish. And have you ever been confronted with that idea before?
Kyle, that is an excellent idea, and you're right. Small, rural, conservative churches are often empty Monday through Friday. We've tried a couple things like that. It takes energy and focus to get them started. We bought microscopes to our church and we invited homeschoolers, but public schoolers were also invited. We had a homeschoolers kind of co-op night where we used the microscopes to examine things. We did the same thing outside with telescopes. We've also we've done other things like that. We were the church building serves as a co-op for godly homeschoolers. We've watched several film series from Right Now Media, and we've used those very effectively, so that these church buildings do double duty to meet the needs of godly homeschoolers in rural areas.
Yeah, you would have to be real careful because, the alphabet agencies would try to send patsies in there to say you did something wrong, but, you'd have to heavily vet most anything you do. But it would be worth a try, and you could even vet the food your community eats, the books you read, the medicine you take, and it could be never-ending. But I had a dream about that, a reoccurring dream, and that's why I thought I'd call in and mention that. Thank you, Pastor.
Okay,
Kyle, that's a great point, Kyle. Thank you.
Outstanding. Well, Pastor, it's been a great visit. We look forward to having you back soon, and we appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, John.
Okay, we have a top of the hour break. We'll be back with Marie Lasseter. Stay tuned.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be a bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
This is RBN.
The Republic Broadcasting Network.